we get into the lesson, the message tonight, if you would bow your head and close your eyes for just a quick moment, and would you say, Lord, speak to my heart tonight. Help me to take this home with me and apply it to my life. Would you do that in silence of the moment from your heart? Lord, speak to my heart tonight. Help me to take it home with me and apply it to my life. Secondly, would you say, Lord, help the preacher to preach the message tonight as you'd have him to, filled with your spirit. Simply means controlled completely with your spirit. And lastly, would you say to the Lord, Lord, we want everything to bring praise and honor and glory to you. All of God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Now, tonight, I was prepared. I have a bucket of water here. And fortunately, when the water came off, Ken said their water was off. And then I texted back that, you know, our water's fine here at the church, but now our water's off too. So, I'll sell this after church. Well, he's a little bit of money for tuition, right, Amy? All right, but there is real water in here, okay? And let's make this a little bit more dramatic, all right? So say I'm a cowboy in a Western, okay? And I'm out in the middle of the desert, all right? My horse has died. This is all the water I got. But my bucket springs a leak. So, several different options I have with this bucket of water. I can just watch it drain out and say, what a shame. That's not going to do much for me. I could probably lift the bucket above my head and drink what I could. That would perhaps give me a little bit more time in the desert. That wouldn't overall solve the problem either. Or I could reach into my saddlebags. I'm carrying it now, the horse is not, okay? And pull out, as seen on TV, Alien Shield, okay? Alien Shield. It seals cracks and rips, stops leak, it waterproofs indoor and outdoor. It's a tape. So I could get a piece of tape, it's leaking out. Going to die in the desert if I don't come up with something. So as seen on TV, it really works. Stick it on in the hole, and guess what? I'm all right. Now, you say, how in the world, preacher, are you going to turn that into anything spiritual? Well, in life, sometimes, we have a bucket full of joy. And we're going through the day, and our joy is full, and everything is good. But then... we spring a leak in our bucket of joy. Sometimes that leak has a name. Let's just call him Bob, okay? We got any Bobs here tonight? Bob, and Bob is a negative person. And you run into Bob, and you hate it, but your bucket of joy starts to leak out. Sometimes, just by the nature of life, things happen, right? There's a disappointment that comes up, you hear about. Sometimes maybe your tire goes flat, like sound like Mike's tire went flat. This things happen, and your bucket starts to leak. Now, your bucket of joy, that is. Now, what can you do to put something like Alien Shield on it to stop it from leaking out? Well, we're going to talk about that tonight. Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 117. Psalm 117. Title of the message tonight, How to Stop Leaking Joy. How to Stop Leaking Joy. And you see, joy in our heart and life ought to be consistent. It's really not like happiness. There's always a difference. When somebody uses those terms interchangeably, it gives me a little bit of a problem, because happiness really is based upon things around you. But really, joy should be based upon our relationship with Jesus. But still, we sometimes let it leak. Let our joy leak out of our lives, leak out of our day, and we start to struggle. I don't know. Maybe the older I get, sometimes when something goes wrong, it just seems like sometimes that joy just. It's hard for me to get that joy back in a few minutes. It's kind of like okay. But how do we stop it? Well, Psalm 117. If you're turned there, you'll find out something really interesting. Now, don't get too excited, okay? It's only two verses. Can I tell you something interesting? This is the shortest chapter in the book of Psalms. Can I tell you that this is the shortest chapter in the whole Bible? But something else really interesting about this chapter that I found, it's the middle chapter of the whole Bible. The middle chapter. So if you look at all the chapters that's divided into the Old Testament, all the chapters in the New Testament, and you find the exact middle, it's right here at Psalm 117. Now, it's real close to Psalm 119, which is also a noteworthy psalm. Remember, it goes through the letters of the Hebrew alphabet, and every verse starts with that same Hebrew letter. It talks about the Word of God. It is the longest chapter in the Bible, and in Psalms, of course. And it's also near something that I thought I would take time. It's almost like a parenthesis in the message tonight. But as we think of Israel and we pray for Israel, it's pretty close to Psalm 122. In Psalm 122, if you turn there in your Bible, you've heard the expression that we need to pray for the peace of Israel, or the peace of Jerusalem in particular, right? Well, it's found in Psalm 122, and since we're close to that, I thought I'd take just a moment and read that verse. It says in this psalm, it's written by David, it says in verse 6, it says just that, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Now, if I'm understanding that right, when it says Jerusalem, now Jerusalem was a religious center, right? That was kind of like the religious capital, if you will, of Israel, correct? So, that's where the temple was located. That's where the worship was centered. So when it says pray for the peace of Jerusalem, I don't believe it's just saying just that city. I think it's talking about the whole nation of Israel. And if you read the whole chapter, I think you'll get that opinion as well. But it says, they shall prosper that love thee. I think it's talking about people that love Israel shall prosper. You know, I think it's important that we love Israel, that we realize they're God's chosen people, realize that God has a plan for them, and by golly, we as a country better support them. Not with just lip service, but with everything we can. We're their biggest ally, is what I understand, in the world. And we need to stay their biggest ally, because it says, those that love thee shall prosper. As I look at our country and where we are today, again, this is kind of a lengthy parenthesis perhaps, but where I look at our country today, and I think a big part of the reason God has blessed America so much is because we've fallen on the side of Israel. As evil and wicked as our country is, and you say, why is God not judging our country? Well, we're still on the side of Israel, and I think that's a real positive. So it says specifically, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. So we need to pray for the peace of Israel. We need to pray for that nation. What I've seen in the atrocities that the Hamas, the terrorists, have committed against them is really, really bad, evil, wicked. And they have every right, as we'd be saying in our country, to defend themselves and to root out the evil. So my prayer is, you say, but preacher, they're human beings. Yeah, but they're evil human beings that will kill you. And I also think back, I believe I have this right in my history, if the nation of Israel, the children of Israel at that point had done away with a lot of those folks over there like God commanded them initially, there wouldn't be all this fighting over there now, or at least to the degree that it is. But there's another reason we support Israel. Genesis 12:3. If you want to turn there, you're welcome to. I'll read that to you. This is in the Abrahamic covenant when God calls Abraham. And I'll tell you that God still has a place for Israel. Some people like to say, I remember I heard this in college for the first time, and I was like, that don't sound right. This wasn't Bible college. This was West Virginia Tech down in Montgomery when I got my engineering degree. But I remember in our Christian group, I heard one guy talking about, you know, the church and replacing Israel. And I'm like, that doesn't sound right. But because it's not right. The church has not replaced Israel, okay? The church, we are also God's chosen people in a sense. We have followed Jesus, trusted Jesus and what he's done for us. But God still has a place for the nation of Israel. And that will be further fulfilled. You see, Israel has never occupied the land promised to Abraham. Never. So God is not a promise breaker, right? He's not a covenant breaker. So during the millennial kingdom of Christ, when the Lord sits on the throne of David, guess what? They're going to occupy that land. So God still has a plan. They're still his chosen people. Most of them have not accepted Jesus as Messiah, but we can pray that they will. But also that Abrahamic covenant has a verse, chapter 12 and verse 3. God speaking to Abraham. You got to keep this in mind. And I will bless them, speaking to Abraham, I will bless them that bless thee. Who's the father of the nation of Israel? Abraham. He says, I'll bless them that bless thee and curse him that curses thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So, I'm sure that I could even come up with more reasons to support Israel, but there's two real big ones. We're told to pray for their peace. If we do that and we love them, we'll prosper. And also, the Abrahamic covenant has not been revoked. So the Abrahamic covenant is still in effect. And God has not completely fulfilled it, but he will. And he says, I'll bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. So, guess what we need to do as individual Christians? As Oak Mound, we need to make sure that we bless Israel, that we encourage them, that we pray for them. And this is a perfect time to be praying for them. Again, that's just a parenthesis that I want to emphasize because, you know, we're confronted right now. And believe me, those people that are evil are also enemies of America. So if you don't get what I said about supporting Israel, if you support America, guess what? You need to hope that they rid the world of these terrorists. Yes, it would be great if they all got saved and trusted Jesus and changed their ways. But, and I don't want to sound heartless, but in war, murder is justified. And that's what we're in. We're in a war with terrorism. And Israel specifically right now is a war on terrorism. So, back to Psalm 117 and our leaky bucket of joy, okay? Psalm 117, verse 1. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people, for his merciful kindness is great toward us. And the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. So, it may be small, but it's pretty powerful, don't you think? How do you stop leaking joy? Can I give you a short answer, then we'll take a little by praising the Lord. By praising the Lord. This psalm, if you're taking notes, number one, we're looking at how to stop leaking joy. Number one, this psalm starts and ends with praising the Lord. Starts and ends. And if you think about it, it's the middle chapter of the Bible. So that's kind of interesting too. So if you really want to stretch it a little bit, you say at the beginning of the day, we should praise the Lord. In the middle of the day, we ought to praise the Lord. At the end of the day, we ought to praise the Lord. And I guarantee you that if you start praising the Lord, instead of letting all the things of this world drag you down, it's going to be better than that alien shield in stopping the leaking joy out of your life. Notice it says, oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people. And then it ends with, praise ye the Lord. Now, the first praise and the last praise is the word Hallel. And we get our word hallelujah. And it's translated praise the Lord, where that word appears in the Hebrew, praise the Lord. It's used to express joy and praise and thanksgiving. But interestingly enough, the second praise, so we should praise him from that, for his greatness. Okay? Hallel, hallelujah, praise the Lord for all of his greatness. But the second word that's translated praise him is the word Shabbat, and it says, praise him, all you people. A different word. And you know what it means? It means to boast, to extol, or to laud. In other words, to brag. To brag on who? The Lord. So it's kind of interesting that those two words for praise says, number one, we ought to praise the Lord, lift up his name because of his greatness. The second part, we ought to brag on him. You know, we ought to brag on him to the Lord. How many times do we go to the Lord in prayer and we're so occupied with our list? I got to pray for this, I got to pray for this, and oh my goodness. What if we just pause and say, Lord, we praise you. We praise you for all that you've done, for all that you are. You're the great God. You're the God of God. You're the King of kings. You're the creator God. You're the God that gave me everything. What if we just pause there just for a little skinny minute, as I say, and say, just praise you, Lord. Brag on the Lord. Because every good thing you have, every single good thing you have. Now, the world doesn't get this, but we as Christians ought to get this. Every good thing that we have comes from God. I mean, I don't care if you got a favorite shirt. Guess where it came from? It came from God. You have a favorite ball cap, John? Do you ever wear a ball cap? Do you have a favorite one? I bet it's dirty, isn't it? So when you pull out that hat and put it on your head, that ball cap, guess what? If it's good and you like it, it comes from God. Everything comes from God. You got kids, and they're a blessing. Grandkids are a blessing. Guess what? That comes from God. You got enough health to come to church tonight? Guess what? That comes from God. You got vehicle. We are so ungrateful sometimes. You know that? I mean, sometimes, man, I don't know what it is. I told somebody I've been cold. Ever since the weather's got cold, I'm cold right now. You ought to feel my hands. They're freezing up here, so I don't know what's going on. I hope so. But, you know, we ought to be thankful that we got heaters, right? I mean, my goodness. Even back when I was growing up, we had a coal stove. Remember, I'm from southern West Virginia. We had a pile of coal. We got our coal bucket, went out, filled the coal bucket up, and had like that warm morning stove and had the dirty old black stuff rolling, that old smoke rolling out of there. My goodness. What do we do today? We go over to the wall and we got a little dial. You know, I'm freezing. Let's turn that thing up. I mean, and we're not thankful. We touch that dial, we ought to say, praise the Lord, I got heat. I like it. We have an old furnace down in our house in Williamstown. I've doctored that thing and fixed that thing and bought parts for that thing and fixed that thing. And man, I'm thankful when I turn it up and you hear that, whoom, it's a gas furnace. When you hear that kaboom, I'm like, yeah, praise the Lord, that furnace is working. I'm not joking. Especially when I've been away a while and I go down there or something and turn that thing on, I'm like, phew, still working. But we ought to praise God. I mean, we got hot water in our showers. I mean, not right now, but y'all don't. Probably out in Dodger, he's got a well, so we have water, Lord willing, good Lord willing. But, you know, you get in a warm, hot shower. I mean, some of you probably remember days that you just didn't hop into a hot shower. I mean, there was maybe a tub or something you got in with some warm water perhaps. But we're so blessed. We need to praise the Lord and say, God, I praise you. I thank you for all that you've done. And see what happens, we forget that when we get in a day so sometimes. And we get caught up in the activities. And old Bob comes by and drags us down. Oh, Mr. Negativity. You know, it doesn't matter if you say, boy, it's a nice day. Well, it's a little cold. Oh, look at that sun. Well, we've been gloomy for 4 days. About time we had some, you know, just kind of that kind of guy. Your joy starts to leak out. But we need to look up and say, praise God for everything. I mean, just, I could go on and on and on for the things. We got a car to hop into. I would make a comment about a certain type of car, but I won't. But we got cars to hop in, turn the heater on, and before long, you know, we're just got heat just going down the road in the summer, air conditioning. We got clothes to put on. I mean, everything. We just need to praise the Lord. When our joy starts to leak out, praise the Lord. We need to brag on Him. We need to praise Him for His greatness, brag on Him for all the things that He's done for us. And I guarantee you, your joy will stop leaking. The second point, first point, title of the message, How to Stop Leaking Joy. Point number one, this psalm starts and ends with praising the Lord. Number two, this psalm gives two great reasons to praise the Lord. Now, I've given you several as we've talked, but it gives two great reasons to praise the Lord. In verse 2, you know, it says, praise Him for His greatness. Praise Him, brag on Him, nations, people. Why? For His merciful kindness is great toward us. Merciful kindness. Some would say that a better descriptive word would be His loyal love. They both work. You know, God's loyal love for us, His mercy and His kindness toward us. God didn't have to be that way. I mean, seriously, God is God. He could be whatever way He wanted to be, right? And we could say, well, He's got His good days. That's God. He's got His bad days on His good. But God has all good days, and they're all good days toward us, and He's showering us with His mercy and with His kindness and with His love. My goodness, even on a bad day when our joy is leaking out of the bucket, we ought to say, I praise You, Lord, for Your greatness. I brag on You for all that You've done. And let me tell you, I brag on You and thank You for Your kindness, for Your mercy, and for Your love. It's a good place to start, don't you think? We know as New Testament Christians, without God's love, He wouldn't have sent His Son. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Found in the Gospel of John. So when our joy starts leaking out of our bucket to stop the leak, praise God for His greatness. Praise God. Brag on Him. And remember, a good place to start, Lord, I thank You for Your love, for Your mercy, and for Your kindness. Believe me, that joy will stop leaking out of your heart for that day. Just saying. And the second thing that's mentioned, another great reason to praise the Lord. Now, this is really big. It says, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. The truth of the Lord. You know, people, I've been around some people, and they're really, really good liars. I mean, they'll look you right in the eye and tell you something that they know is wrong, and you're thinking, oh, I guess that's right, huh? Because they're so good at lying. Our God could have been a lying God, but He's not. He's a God of merciful kindness and love, but He's also a God of truth. Truth. We have His truth encapsulated in the Word of God. This is truth, right? So we know that everything in this book is true. And it's not true for the first 1,000 years. It's not true for the first 5,000 years. It's not true for the first 1,000,000 or 5,000,000 or 10 million years. It says it is true forever, forever. You know, I'm thankful that I can base my life upon truth. You know, if God, if it wasn't truth, God could keep changing the standard. Seriously. He could say, okay, today you're saved if you, you know, and then fill in the blank. But tomorrow, you got to do something else. And you got to do, he could keep changing the standard. But the truth of God's word that lasts forever says, this is what's expected of you. This is what salvation is. This is what faithfulness is. This is what I want. It's right here in the truth of God's word, and it lasts forever. Boy, don't you think when the leaky bucket of joy starts leaking out and we start losing our joy? And believe me, I think this would be true of all of us. Now, I know there's some pretty jolly and happy and joyful people, but I think all of us at times, we're like, ah, man, my joy seems to be leaking out just a little bit. Don't you think we could stop? And I encourage you. I encourage you. Tomorrow, when you're going along, and maybe the day started out good, everything's going good, and Gwen, you have an irate customer at the vet office, and John, when you get up, you find out one of your tires is flat on your vehicle, and you're not happy. When things like that happen, and your joy is starting to leak out, can I tell you something better than alien shield? Is to praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Again, praise him for his greatness. And remember old Bob? That joy zapper? And life. Life is tough. I'm not one of those preachers who gets, oh, life's a piece of cake. No, I don't really think it is. I have Jesus going with me, and I'll make it through, but it's not a piece of cake. So when your joy starts to leak out, praise God for his greatness, brag on God for all that he's done, and start thanking him. Start with these two great things it says to thank him for his merciful kindness or his love, and thank him that his truth endures forever. And I really believe, now, you know, they might think you're a little crazy if you just start saying this out loud. You know, your neighbor's talking to you and dragging you down, and you say, well, praise God! You know, they might call the people with the suits and the street, you know, might, you know. But if you can't say it out loud, if you can, fine. If you can't, on the inside, Lord, I'm going to praise you in spite of Bob. I praise you for who you are and your greatness. I praise you for all the things that you've done. I'm going to brag on you, and I thank you for your merciful kindness. I thank you for your love. I thank you for your truth enduring forever. And I guarantee you, remember, I'm selling this after church. I guarantee you, if I don't spill it, I already dropped, I'll tell you later. I guarantee you that if your bucket of joy starts to leak, just start praising God. Just start praising God. And that's not as seen on TV, but as seen in the Bible, okay? All right, if you would bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, let me ask you, I'm not going to ask you to indicate in any way, but will you do your best to take that with you tomorrow? And when things happen in life as they do, and people come our way as they do, that you'll try to remember, you know, how do I stop my joy? I feel it leaking out. I'm not as joyful as I started the day. Would you consciously, in your mind, God helping you, start praising the Lord? Praising him for his greatness, bragging on him for all that he's done, and even starting with these two great things that he's given us, his merciful kindness and his truth that lasts forever. And then you can just take off from that. There's lots of things you can praise him for. God helping you? God helping you? Would you do that? Would you do that? Dear God, we thank you for your Bible, Lord. The shortest chapter in your Bible, and I know chapter divisions, many times were placed there by man, but Lord, here in this chapter break in Psalm 117, we thank you, Lord. It's a short one, but Lord, it's packed with truth. We praise you for that. And Lord, when things get difficult, challenging people come our way, Lord, help us just to stop and praise you. And Lord, I guarantee each one of us, and Lord, help me to do the same, to start to praise you for all that you've done and all that you are. Lord, help us to take it home with us, put it in our pocket,